This is Johanna.
This is Marie.
And this is Phil.
And you're listening to the Rock for Life podcast.
On today's show, we update you on the pro-life dumpster divers in Michigan.
And Marie gives us the lowdown on Planned Parenthood's recently released annual report.
And I'll take you down.
Yep.
That DJ made my day.
All right, guys. Hey, Planned Parenthood came out with some new numbers from their most recent annual report, and they admitted to have killing 289,750 babies within the year 2006 to 2007. Their clinic income, so that's girls going in for birth control and all sorts of different procedures and things like that, they raised over $356 million. They received—
Is that an increase?
Yes, it is. $11.8 million increase from the previous year. And the government grants, so the money from the government money, which we need to get out of the hands of Planned Parenthood, they received another $336.7 million, which is an increase of $31.4 million.
Wow.
With a total income, get this, of $1.02 billion.
So when do they become just another evil corporation? I mean, technically they're a nonprofit organization, but they are making so much money. They're obviously profiting a huge percentage of that.
But Phil, they don't even get taxed
on
this income.
Not only do they not get taxed, but they get tax money.
Right. And on over just about $114 million went right into their savings account from the government. So basically, they don't need $114 million because guess what? The profit is $114.8 million. So 33% of that came from taxpayer money. They don't even need the money. They just put it right in their bank account.
Yet they're asking for more.
Right.
To provide more services, but they can pay for them themselves. If they want to offer all this extra stuff, they should be paying for it themselves because obviously they are profiting. Now, a lot of people might be unaware of like the whole nature of what a nonprofit organization is. A nonprofit organization means that shareholders are not getting rich off of this. A corporation is that. People invest in the company and then they make money off of that. A nonprofit organization can make money, though, for itself.
Right.
And Planned Parenthood is showing that it very well can.
It's just ridiculous. It just blows your mind. I mean, you think about it. Total income of $1.02 billion. It's just evil. They're out there brainwashing our young people that, hey, sex for all. Do whatever feels good, right? And then get on the pill so we can get more money from the profit and go out there and have sex. And then when the birth control fails and the condoms fail, then young girl gets pregnant.
She can take emergency contraception, which they already sell at a huge markup. Wasn't it like 400% markup?
Looking at the numbers again, let's see here. Emergency contraception. They sold over, man, it's ridiculous, 1,436,846. And that's an increase of 196,330 kits from the previous year. So, yeah.
They're making like $20 profit on each one, considering they're buying it for like $3 or $4.
Right, right. They get a good deal, and then they mark up the prices, and then they get, you know, this profit. It's a business. Planned Parenthood is a business.
And then on top of that, they're doing STD screening, so they're making money off of that.
Oh, right,
and
right.
Of course, the moneymaker, abortion, which you said the numbers did go up this year.
Oh,
I
yeah,
as
yeah.
Planned Parenthood services increase, the number of abortions would go down, because that's what they're telling us, that the more that they get into communities, the number of abortions go down.
No, they increased over 24,807 to be exact.
That seems to be the one constant with Planned Parenthood is that they've always had a steady increase in abortions.
Oh, yeah, just looking at the past—
from the inception of the organization.
Yep, just looking at the past 5 years from 2002, 230,630 every single year. I have the numbers in front of me. It's gone up.
But they offer adoptions, right? They offer help with adoptions, right?
Oh, that's pretty funny, Phil, that you mentioned that, because last year when they came out with the annual report, they didn't mention any adoption referrals at all. It was blank.
Because the number's so pitifully low, isn't it?
And so this year they have 2,410 adoption referrals, and then they fill in what they had last year, which they didn't mention last year, which is 2,413. Like,
so how many did they have this year?
They had 2,410, and they claim to have had last year 2,413. The numbers are just so close. You just wonder.
Wow.
The fact that they did not put it in their annual report last year and all of a sudden, oh yeah, this is what we had last year. We're seeing it now, you know. It's pretty suspicious.
Considering that many people, including a family member of mine recently, who go to Planned Parenthood to see what they would say to a pregnant woman, they counsel you towards abortion. And then if you are adamantly opposed to having that abortion, then they might give you a phone number to call for adoption help. So I wonder if that giving that phone number out is what they consider an adoption referral.
Right. I don't know. But I remember in a talk that you gave at the Training and Activism Weekend, didn't you mention that a story about a young woman going into a Planned Parenthood clinic and, you know, just talking, wanting to counsel or talk about, you know, her pregnancy. But then the Planned Parenthood employee said, if you're not here for an abortion, there's the door.
Yeah, that that exact phrase.
Oh,
there's
my
the door.
Gosh.
She was Ventura, California. And in fact, the Rock for Life chapter out there was doing a sign-waving demonstration across the street from the Planned Parenthood, and this girl had been driving past, and she told them, you know, this is what happens. I want to help fight these people. She's really irritated that she would go to them for help because she sees the name Planned Parenthood. She thinks they'll help her be a parent, and they showed themselves to just be there for abortion.
It's pretty disgusting. I mean, I've got some stories from personal experiences of just sitting, you know, having an iced tea at a bar, and a disgusting guy just comes up and, you know, talks to me, and he's from Planned Parenthood and everything. What does he do? He whips out a Planned Parenthood condom. It's disgusting just to give to me, like, hey, here's a little gift or whatever.
What a pickup line. That's
it was
disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting. I was totally, totally insulted. Because how, just because I'm a young woman, he assumes I'm, you know, interested in contraception. Absolutely ridiculous.
And a Planned Parenthood condom nonetheless, which are the least effective.
That's right.
Condoms.
So here, okay, again, we need you to help stop the Planned Parenthood funding, tax funding, and that sign that petition if you haven't already. Go to the website, www.stopplantparenthoodtaxfunding.com. Sign it and get the money out of Planned Parenthood's hands. Look for the information update we had in the Stop Report on Wednesday of this week. And Phil, give us an update.
Yeah. So last week we talked about Alberto Hodari. He's an abortionist in Michigan who runs a chain called Women Care. And what happened is that some of the local pro-lifers from Citizens for a Pro-Life Society had been dumpster diving outside his clinics, trying to find what they could in the dumpsters. They had been looking mostly for aborted baby remains so that they could give them a proper burial and take care for them. Not just so they're not left in the trash. That's a horrible thing to do. And they found medical records that were not shredded, which is very illegal.
Oh, my gosh. You could totally just get the names of these girls and women who have been there and all their contact information, what was wrong with them or what was diagnosed wrong with them or whatever.
Well, after the abortion lobby was so up in arms over Attorney General Phil Klein requesting the medical records from an abortion clinic in Kansas to find out if that abortion clinic had been performing illegal abortions, they fought that tooth and nail. But where's the outrage over this, where this man's clinic is throwing out this information? There was no outrage.
And there's actual video coverage of the evidence the babies that have been killed.
The local news picked this up, and the pro-lifers had actually put together a video of what they found as they went through the garbage bags. I mean, it shows them opening the bags and what they find in there. And it's absolutely disgusting. But the update here is he is not being charged with anything. He has been told to retrain his employees and let them know what they can and cannot throw out. And so he says that he's already retrained them, so he doesn't need to do anything.
Oh, my gosh.
Big injustice here.
Wow.
Is that Dr. Monica Miller, the organizer of the dumpster diving raids and director of Citizens for a Pro-Life Society, she is being fined $1,100.
And the doctor, so-called doctor, the abortionist, wasn't fined anything or punished at all?
Right.
How does that work?
Yeah, what she says. Hodari doesn't get fined a single cent. But I kid you not, the state had the bill charged to me for the removal of the evidence from my property. Something does not seem right here.
This is complete injustice.
Because she collected that stuff, she had it at her house and told the police about it, and they came and got it from her house. Now she's being given the bill for that. That's absolutely ridiculous.
And she also made sure that the pieces of the babies, you know, were delivered to a funeral home.
Yes.
To go through, you know, the proper burial procedures, because this is actual human beings.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I cannot believe the world that we live in right now. I cannot believe that this goes on and people get away with it. You are not allowed to go and shoot your neighbor or, you know, murder someone on the street, but you are allowed to take babies outside of mothers and kill them and put them in the garbage. You're allowed to do that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. There is something you can do, though. You can contact the Department of Environmental Quality in Michigan and ask them to take action on this. The dude you want to get a hold of is John Golke, and his number is 517-241-1320. Now, what you want to do is pause the podcast, give him a call, and ask to press charges against Hodari. This is just disgusting, and they need to take aggressive action against him. You can also call the Attorney General's office at 248-858-0656 and talk to the Warrants Division. Now, be respectful, be kind, be good with your words, and ask them to file charges against Hodari. Obviously, what the police had been saying as they were getting the stuff out of the dumpster is that this is illegal and he can face criminal charges. And aside from that, it's just disgusting. And then you know what you can also do? You can go to a pro-abort blog and ask them, why have they not covered this? If they are so up in arms over the whole Phil Klein asking clinics to turn over their medical records so that he can see if any charges or anything illegal was being done, they didn't want that to happen, but they're fine with this. You know, their silence of this is acceptance of what he did. He's one of their own, and they need to weed out their ranks.
That's why we need to speak up. We cannot be silent about abortion ever. We must speak up. And Hodari, as far as we can see right now, just got a slap on the wrist, and that was it.
So, Johanna, you are going to update us on Susan G. Komen's Race for the Cure and Planned Parenthood.
It seems like there was a bit of confusion about why people should be withholding donating to the Komen, Susan G. Komen Foundation. But our latest research indicates that last year in the tax year of 2005-2006, Komen gave Planned Parenthood $711,485 in grant money. Now, they allocate that for education and prevention services, but that just frees up more funds to promote their abortion and contraceptive services.
Okay, so Komen, the Komen Foundation gave Planned Parenthood over $700,000.
Yes.
They're helping kill babies. They're helping increase women's chances of getting breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Now, Eve Sanchez-Silver was a medical research analyst and two-time breast cancer survivor who was on, she was associated with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. She worked for it. She severed her ties with the foundation after learning about the grants that it supplied to Planned Parenthood. And here's a quote from her. She said, "You can't affirm life with one hand and support an organization that kills people with the other." And she is right on target there.
The Susan G. Komen Foundation, you know, works really hard with, you know, helping defeat breast cancer and all that, you know, spread the education and testing and all that kind of stuff to, you know, help fund, you know, other organizations, whatever. But, okay, so think about this. There are studies that show that birth control pill can increase your chances of getting breast cancer.
Yeah, that's an undisputed fact by the World Health Organizations, by the way. That's a position of theirs. The birth control pill will increase your risk for breast cancer.
There are studies that show that abortion can increase the woman's chance of getting breast cancer. So you look at Planned Parenthood, an organization that sells birth control, that performs abortions. They are helping increase women's chance of getting breast cancer. So why is Susan G. Komen, an organization to help fight breast cancer, funding an organization, Planned Parenthood? It just defeats the purpose. It doesn't make any sense.
This is all very indicative of philosophy of the Komen Foundation that really pollutes real scientific breast cancer research. It seems like they're not really interested in preventing cancer, but just screening for it and treating it. They're not at all interested in preventing it, which is a huge problem.
Oh, it's just another service that they offer so that they can come across as this health organization. Give me a break.
Interestingly enough, back when I lived in Albany, New York, there was a story in the local news about a woman who went to a local Planned Parenthood. I believe it was the Hudson Mohawk branch. She went there for a breast cancer screening. I guess they didn't do a very good job, and she got breast cancer. She had one of her breasts removed.
Oh, my gosh.
And she sued them, and she won. I believe it was like $700,000 from them, and they said, well, you know what? We can't be like the final authority on it, on your screening. So why go to Planned Parenthood for breast cancer screening if they're just going to, you know, later tell you that, oh, well, we're not exactly.
They're basically saying that you should always get a second opinion.
So
if
why
you
get the
us.
First opinion if you have to get a second opinion?
Right.
You get that second opinion from somebody who's reputable.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Not a place whose first order of business is abortion.
Yeah. Just to back up the studies to prove, you know, what we're talking about, in 1983, M.C. Pike released a study that showed that women who took oral contraceptive pills for at least 4 years had 125% increased risk of developing breast cancer before the age of 32. And also an American trial called the Cancer and Steroid Hormone Study, which discovered in 1993 that women who took oral contraceptives prior to their first full-term pregnancy under the age of 44 had a 40% increased risk of breast cancer. And also you can check out a website, abortionbreastcancer.com, and you can look in all the different studies and information about how abortion links to breast cancer.
And just so people know, we are urging you to not support the Susan G. Komen Foundation. We advise you to find another organization to donate to support. We ask you to pull out of the Race for the Cure if they're going to be supporting Planned Parenthood. Because it brings into question if, and this information is out there, if an organization that wants to end something, i.e. breast cancer, is not committed to getting at the root cause of it, then are they really going to be that effective? I mean, if they're going to if they're not going to take a stand against the things that are increasing the risk for breast cancer, then what is their goal?
Hey guys, I just heard this really sweet song. It's called Butterfly. It's pretty good. It actually really got to me. I'm serious. It's really good. You got to listen to it. It's from the Nashville country duo Bluefield. They just released it. And if you haven't heard the song, we're going to play it to you over the break. And here's a message they posted on their MySpace page asking for your help. Okay, now we're asking requests from our best friends. Our single Butterfly has just been released to radio and is meeting resistance due to the controversial subject matter. If you could please pass along to your friends a request to listen to the song, and if they are inspired, to call their radio, their local station. We know it's a big favor, but there is a huge impact this song could make on so many people. There is such strength in numbers, and we believe every single call will make a difference. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Rick and Jennifer.
She took the test and failed it. We blamed each other for a while. All our big plans had no little ones in them. We just weren't ready for a child. So we set the alarm for 7. There's a place right down the street. It was a night like any other night. But when I fell asleep, I saw his face, he had my eyes, I swear he had your smile, chasing a butterfly. He laughed and skipped and caught it, softly placed it in my hands. He said, please, don't kill the butterfly. Well, I woke up kind of shaken. I tried not to wake her from her sleep. She quietly whispered, I just had this dream. I saw his face, he had your eyes, I swear he had my smile, chasing a butterfly. He started, softly placed it in my hands. You said, please, don't kill the butterfly. Don't kill the butterfly. The alarm went off at 7, but we laid in bed till noon. Then she and I spent the rest of the day painting butterflies in his room. He had my eyes, I swear he had your smile. Chasing a butterfly. He laughed and skipped and caught it, softly placed it in my hands. He said, please. He said, please.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Hola.
That was Butterfly from Bluefield. Now, apparently, this song has the power to change the hearts of young girls considering abortion. And that's according to what they told Jill Stanek at jillstanek.com. Be sure to visit Bluefield's website at myspace.com/Bluefield Band. That's Bluefield Band. But just listen for yourself and tell us what you think. 1-866-552-3368. Or by emailing us at podcast@rockforlife.org. Music for this episode comes from MC Noize, courtesy of Third Shift Entertainment. You can visit MC Noize's MySpace at myspace.com/EMCEENOIZ. You might have noticed Eric Whittington isn't here. He's out of town this week, but he promises to be back next time.
The Rock for Life podcast is made available because of the generous donations made by you, our listeners. Donate online at rockforlife.org.
Rock for Life is a project of American Life League, for life without exceptions.
Without compromise.
Yep. That DJ made my day.